Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter said to them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around himself, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to Simon, son of John, "Do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This story can be a little difficult to understand if you don't think back to what happened on the night before the crucifixion. Jesus was arrested, and he was taken to court. And Peter found himself in the courtyard, and three times Peter said, "I don't know that man. I'm not one of his disciples. I'm not part of them." This is right after Peter has already told Jesus, "I will never deny you." And Jesus said, "Oh, yes, you will. And it will happen before the rooster crows." I can't imagine how Peter felt, because one of the Gospels says that on his third denial, He looked across the courtyard and Jesus looked right at him. I can't imagine what that was like for Peter. Because Peter was confident that he would never deny Jesus. Peter was confident that he would walk with Jesus to death. Peter was confident that he would never change his mind. And only hours later, he did. It's easy for us to say the pressure of the situation. Peter could have been concerned that he too would be arrested. But I know this, and I can say this with confidence. Those who seek to live for God fail God at times. We all have. Whether we've done it knowingly or unknowingly, sometimes we choose not to follow God. Maybe it's the pressure of the situation. Maybe we don't want people to persecute us because we believe in a living God. You could have any number of reasons. But the truth is, there are times that we all fail God. Sin does not go away from us. Our sins may have been paid for on the cross, and we are forgiven, but yet there's going to be times that we sin, that we put ourselves in the center place, in the most important place, and I am going to do what I want to do. For Peter that night, it was to protect himself. Peter failed at a critical moment. Peter failed at a critical moment where Jesus needed support, Jesus needed help, Jesus needed somebody to walk the journey with him. And Peter had gotten into the courtyard, but then decided not to continue further. It doesn't matter what his excuse was. Most excuses are all self-centered. Anytime you think of an excuse on why you didn't do something, it's probably self-centered and trying to protect yourself. That's what Peter was doing that night, but he failed the Lord at a very critical moment. Here's the exciting thing, though, about this story that I just read. Jesus would not allow him to remain in failure. You know, Jesus could have decided to stick right there. Peter could have decided to stick right there. Jesus could have let him. And Peter could have gone on for the rest of his life having a pity party for himself. Because, oh Lord, I failed you at a critical moment, and I'll never be good for you again. Peter could have done that. And we would have looked at him and said, oh, poor Peter. And part of the reason I know that Peter was poor was because he had no idea what to do now. Not only was the Savior gone and then back, but Peter had failed him, thinking, I'm not useful to God anymore. What shall I do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going fishing again because that's what I know how to do. And some of the other disciples said, hey, great, we'll go with you. Because they didn't know what to do either. They've seen the Lord alive. He's given them information. He's given them understanding. He's told them what they need to do. He trained them for 3 years. But Peter is at this moment where he goes, I'm not useful anymore. I can't be useful to God, but I know how to fish. And what does it say happened for him? He had the best day fishing ever, eventually. Actually, they fished at night, and it says that they fished all night, and they got nothing. Nothing. Now, this was Peter's profession. He knew how to do this, but he got nothing. Nothing. And all of a sudden, as they're pulling in, as dawn is breaking, someone says to them, Peter doesn't know who it is. We do. Peter doesn't. Hey, y'all catch any fish? Yes, Jesus was from the south. The south of Israel. He was from the south of Israel. Y'all got any fish? Not a one. Wow. Not a one. That was like the day that it was senior skip day. And my grandfather never would have let me skip school for anything. Anything. He called me the night before and he said, what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, Pop, I'm going to school. He said, you want to go fishing? And I said, what? He said, well, I understand it's senior skip day. Let's go fishing. The only time I went fishing with my grandfather, other than we chartered a boat to do flounder fishing. Sure, I'd love to spend a day with you fishing. So we went surf fishing on the bay. Guess what we caught? Nothing. A whole day of fishing and we caught nothing. So what did we do? We stopped at the store on the way home. It was a wonderful time spending with my grandfather the whole day. And that made it worth it. We had nothing. Peter and the disciples have got the same thing. And Jesus says, hey, throw the net on the other side of the boat. I don't know how many of you have spent time fishing. I spent almost every weekend fishing my high school year. My uncle would come pick me up and we'd go fishing. We almost always came home with fish. If somebody had told us one of those days when we're not catching much, just try the other side of the boat. I would have to say, what? What does it matter, the other side of the boat? It's the same lake. The boat's not an obstruction to the fish. And this guy just called out to them and said, throw the net on the other side. And what happens? They can't haul the net in. It says they got 153 fish. Seems to be no significance to the number that anybody can figure out. Other than to say, that's a lot of fish. That's why the number's there. I can't imagine in one net draw to pull in 153 fish off of a small boat. That's incredible. And it's at that moment that John, the disciple John, the one who Jesus loved, this is how John refers to himself in his own gospel, says, it's the Lord. And Peter can't wait to get to shore. Says they're only about 100 yards offshore, and Peter puts his clothes back on, jumps in the water, and swims in to talk to Jesus. And Jesus said, bring some of your fish. So Peter goes back out. They haul the net in. They bring the fish, and they have breakfast. And I can imagine after they had breakfast that Peter and Jesus are kind of sitting off to the side a little bit. And Jesus looks at him and says, do you love me like God loves us? That's the word that Jesus uses, agape. Do you love us? Do you love me? And what does Peter say? Peter, you know I love, or Peter looks at Jesus and said, you know I love you like a brother. Peter actually uses a different word. We don't see that in English because both words get translated to love. And a second time, Jesus asked him, do you love me like God loves? And Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you as though you were my brother. And then a third time, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me like a brother? And Peter gets upset and says, Jesus, I've been telling you I love you like a brother. That's why Peter gets upset. Because they're actually talking about two different things. And then Jesus changes it to say, okay, I'll meet you where you are. And all three times, he says, Peter, I want you to take care of the kingdom of God and the people of the kingdom of God. All three times. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. I want you to do that. You see, Jesus encourages Peter by guiding him to a deeper love relationship. That's what he's doing. Peter, I know that you failed me. I know you did. I watched it. I heard it happen. I looked at you after the third time. Now I want to reinstate you. I want you to understand that you are useful to me, that I do want you to be part of the kingdom, that I do want you to take care of the kingdom of God and the people in that kingdom. You see, Jesus wouldn't let him stay in failure. Jesus wouldn't let him have a pity party. He finally said, it's time for your party to be over. And it's time for you to move on, Peter. And then he tells Peter in some coded words for us, he tells Peter, you will die by crucifixion also. You walked where you wanted to when you were a young man. But in your old age, you will be led and your arms will be spread out. And you will die by crucifixion. Tradition tells us that's how Peter died. But he still did not consider himself worthy enough to be part of the kingdom. And they crucified him upside down. Because he would not be crucified like his Lord was. You see, Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Jesus wouldn't let him stay there in his own pity party, in making up excuses for why he did what he did. Jesus says, you are purposeful. You are valuable. I need you to feed the sheep of this kingdom. I need you. How incredible is that? That God says, God needs humanity. Here's what I want to tell you. God wants you also to experience a deeper love relationship. I don't care how long you've walked with God, how many months, decades it's been, it doesn't matter. God wants a deeper love relationship with you. And God's always going to be coming to you and asking you, do you love me as I love you? What kind of love will you answer with? Well, you know, I love you like a brother or a sister. And God's going to say, no, I want you to love deeper than that. I've been walking with Christ since about 1982. Is my relationship today the same way it was 40 years ago? Not at all. Has it arrived yet? And have I come to the place where I feel fully satisfied with a love relationship? No. I cry out almost daily, God, I want to see you. I want to know you deeper. I want to know this love relationship that you want to have with me in a way that I have never known it before. Is that your cry? Is that your cry? Because that's what God wants from you. God wants a deeper love relationship with you. That's what this is all about. And I decided a long time ago that that love relationship with God is all I need. That's all I need. If salvation doesn't come, if eternal life doesn't come, it doesn't matter. It's a love relationship with God that I want to know inside out, backwards, upside down, every way I possibly can. That's what's important. And why is that important to me? One, because God continues to love me in spite of who I am. In spite of what I've done wrong and the ways I've disobeyed and the ways I've walked the wrong way, God still loves me. I can never change that fact. Never. There's not anything I can do that God would look at me and say, I don't love you anymore. How wonderful is that? Why should I not want to reciprocate that love? Why should I not want to deepen that love? Why should I not want to find out more what that means? Experience. Deeper. Love relationship. That's what God wants with you. It doesn't matter how many times you fail. I think deeply of Thomas Edison and the light bulb when I think about that. Because his lab assistant looked at him and said, we have tried 1,000 different things to build this filament in this light bulb and it doesn't work. We might as well give up. And you know what Thomas Edison replied with? He said, nope. We know 1,000 things that now don't work. Let's try something else. You know what? It doesn't matter how many times I've failed. Have I failed God in my life? Miserably at times. Have I failed God in the past week? Yes. Have I failed God in the past day? Yes. But God says, I love you. And I want you to experience a deeper love relationship with me. And I won't let you have a pity party. Because you are valuable. There's a voice calling to me from an old rugged tree, and it whispers, "Draw closer to me. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb, and a new place in me you will find." And the response comes, "For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. For whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'm willing to do." How about you? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to learn how to love God in a deeper way? Are you willing to do that? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your ways. Thank you for especially your love, that you are willing to woo us into a deeper love relationship, no matter who we are and no matter what we've done. Lord, even when we fail you, you won't let us stay there. You come to reinstate us, to redeem us, to renew us, to give us rebirth again in a deeper love relationship with you. Help us, Lord, to consider what we need to do, what effort we need to take, and how we need to apply ourselves to that love relationship that you're offering us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.